everyone. Welcome back to E-Commerce AI, the Revenue Revolution. Today, we're very excited to have a very special guest with us, Amandeep Singh, a seasoned expert in the e-commerce space and the driving force behind Chronix. Him and his team are not only experts in development, but are also expanding their influence in marketing. Joining our CEO, Dr. Ari Khan, they will discuss AI, the critical aspects of data synchronization, the challenges of replatforming, and the BigCommerce training program, and so much more. Without waiting any longer, I'm going to let you guys go ahead and get started.
Thank you, Kristen. Mandeep, great to see you again.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me here, Ari.
My pleasure. I've been looking forward to spending some time with you and talking about some of the customers that you've implemented and the technologies and your partners. You cover a lot of different industries. And you've implemented a lot of sites. Maybe we can kick it off with any big wins lately, anything, big successes from your customers?
Yeah. We a few months ago, we launched Inhaven, and you know, there are a few different modules, and then we had extended the B2B functionality of the BigCommerce, and then we submitted this for the B2B awards, and now they are actually the finalist for the B2B awards by Digital Commerce 360. So we're looking forward to see how they do it, and we also rooting for Inhaven for a customer awards and a BigCommerce as well in a big summit which is happening in in Austin.
Wow. Okay, that's huge. That's huge. What does Inhaven do?
So Inhaven basically is they have a number suite of products now. So they started with a B2B, shop for one-stop shop for the property managers. So we are basically if you're a property manager who have around hundred or thousands of properties, and you are trying to set up those properties, their bedsheet, the linen programs, and everything. So you can buy those products from Inhaven. The idea is that the B2B, the customer, they are busy, they don't have too much time, so we created a unique customer experience, categorize the products into four different categories, like a mid luxury and premium products kind of stuff. So in that way, so when they go to the website, they can shop by bedroom, shop by kitchen, shop by bathroom kind of stuff. So then depending upon what kind of property they're buying for, they can simply, choose all the checklist. Okay, they're buying for the bathroom, and they can simply, buy all the products which are, needed for the bathroom kind of a thing for a good guest experience. So that was really helped a lot. And then we are doing a lot of other things like Inhaven Stay, Inhaven Keep, which is basically a PWA, progressive web app, for which bridges the gap between the house cleaning staff. A housekeeping staff who are basically, they go to the house, they see that, well, there are things broken or there's something needs to be replaced kind of thing. So they will basically, can submit a request from their mobile app, and then those requests will go to the property manager. They can approve it, and then with one click, they can basically buy those things. So yeah, there's a lot of, new interesting things they are doing as well. So yeah.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. That's amazing. Is it a large catalog of products?
Yeah, they have more than 10,000 products. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. So this is a BigCommerce implementation. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a BigCommerce implementation, and we are basic BigCommerce B2B, I would say, okay. Because it's just the B2B focused only. And we developed the customer portal, in a bit more headless experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. I'm curious if you've got any AI projects that have been brewing.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are basically for this thing, what we are implementing is that based on the property, we are integrating with a lot of property management softwares. So the idea behind that is we will be fetching the data of the property listing, the property attributes, and the reservation of the booking data, and based on that we can anticipate what is the booking, what the busy season looks like, things like that, how many people are coming, so we can estimate what kind of products they will need in those properties, you know. So the idea behind is that we will, you know, train our model into those attributes, those you know, booking data and everything, and then based on that we will create you know, automatic orders or automatic request to order, so that they don't have to, you know, like the property managers or the owners don't have to worry about, you know, basically in a busy season when things are a little crazy, so they can simply, you know, order, fulfill the products.
Oh, interesting. So it basically will fill the entire, like make basically a whole shopping list and for depending on the season and bookings.
Yeah, for common items like, you know, kitchen paper towel, the, you know, the toilet paper, some of the other things which are, you know, like regularly used, because those are the things we will also be, because these are house, you know, keeping staff, they're also submitting those requests which are being submitted from our system. So we will be, you know, training the data over there as well, like how people, what is the behavior, what kind of common items are there, and then based on that we can, you know, basically provide those recommendations to those people, to those property managers or the owners.
I think that this is a really important capability that's become possible now, thanks to large language models. With HawkSearch, we're implementing similar things where if a person specifies their goals, like restocking their rental property in June could be a goal, HawkSearch is filling a shopping cart with all of the products that are likely to be needed to fulfill that goal, and then you remove the stuff that you don't need from the cart rather than adding things that you need, and then you don't forget anything, right?
Yeah, that's what we actually, you know, discussion with the HawkSearch team as well. Basically, what we wanted to do is, so we have one aspect where we are training our data, you know, and then auto fulfill, you know, based on the busy season and everything. But the another thing we want to do is a context driven cart. So the idea is, you know, so that's where we had a demo of HawkSearch a few months ago, and from there we got the idea, like an AI based search that people want to set up a, you know, hey, I want to set up a property in Los Angeles, you know, this is the location and these are the bedroom, this and that. So they will provide few attributes, and based on those attributes we will basically, you know, creating a cart as well. So so yeah, that was a demo I think Lance and the HawkSearch team was doing, and then, you know, I got connected with the HawkSearch team from there, and then, you know, so we are exploring that solution with them.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, that's kind of a philosophy that we have with Hawk that is, I think, different than what most of the industry has, where we see every customer as having a merchandising team and needing to create an algorithm, an AI-powered algorithm that is specific to their needs and their industry and their products that can help make them essentially the Amazon of their industry. And when you look at a lot of the implementations with large language models, what you see is this one-size-fits-all as opposed to tailored AI, where, you know, Amazon and Google and TikTok, they have algorithms that they've tuned, and they use those to create adoption and conversion in their industry. But you can't just take the Amazon algorithm and throw it in TikTok and expect to get anything. So what you're seeing with HawkSearch is exactly that, where we have tailored AI that allows you, based on, in the Inhaven instance, a very specific industry that has goals of restocking an individual condo so that the next person to come in and stay there doesn't not have toilet paper. That's not a TikTok required algorithm. That's a custom tailored algorithm in that instance.
Yeah.
I think you're way ahead of the pack with that. The B2B award that Inhaven is a nominee for, when does that award get announced?
I think it's like August 22nd.
August 20th. Oh, right around the corner. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Okay. Good. This is going to be a Chronix Inhaven award. I'm hopeful. In terms of other implementations, things that you've done recently, anything else on top of your mind in terms of like large catalogs or large number of stores or anything? Any big wins? Because we're seeing a lot of trends there.
So basically, I have been working in the industry for almost 15 years now, and then so recently I was working on a project where it was on a Shopify Plus, and they have around like a almost 100 locations across the US as well, like as a retail. So they had a very unique, use case where they were basically, it's the same product but different pricing, right? And so they were creating a duplicate of the products for each vendor scenario. And they had around, like, technically their SKUs were around 30,000 or something, but because of this, the wrong architecture, it was going around 1.5 million SKUs. So it took us, like almost 9 months or more to, re-architecture the whole thing and reduce the, numbers to around 36,000 SKUs, which basically helped with the POS performance, because earlier they were facing so many challenges with the POS synchronization, the inventory synchronization, because it was one to many, and it's one to many is like too many many, right? So it was the ERP synchronization wasn't working very well. So but yeah, now so it's much better, and then in their busy season they are making like millions of dollars a day at the moment. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I hear those numbers and it just goes off in my head because, okay, 1.5 million to 30,000 SKUs. Great. That's a 50-to-1 reduction. But it's the interconnectivity and the indexing across all of those. It's combinatorically, depending on the number of attributes, can be completely out of control. So that's a much bigger than 50,000 or 50-to-1 improvement that you can see there.
That was a huge project. The whole project, so it took us almost technically 2 years, but the idea was, the first year we just did the theme revamp, and then in a second year we did the the base architecture revamp as well, because we wanted to understand like what are the it's a 150-year-old company, so they had a lot of tech debt. There's the whole basically organization process takes a lot of time as well. So but was I'm pretty proud of that. We were able to launch it successfully, and they're having a pretty good season now. So yeah, it's
That's
good.
huge. That's huge. That's Shopify Plus.
Yeah, they're Shopify Plus. Yep.
One of the things that I love about Chronix is that you've got expertise in these different platforms, and I mean, the skill set that one develops across BigCommerce versus Shopify Plus or Optimizely and so forth is, I mean, it's still computer science, but it's different. You need to know the APIs and stuff. Big C Experts is big on my radar. I just love the model. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So yeah, basically, I'm always keen on basically sharing the knowledge. So the what I started is like I started training two batches of developers every year. So in each batch, there are around 10 to 20 developers, depending upon availability of their developer, all those developers. So the Big C started in a scenario that because I hired people, I have interviewed thousands of people as well, and there's a lot of missing attributes. Everyone say they know HTML. A lot of people say that they know HTML, CSS, and everything, but there is always lack of semantics, standards, the optimization, accessibility, etc. So I wanted to train developers from a perspective that they are ready for like a going into the industry, or those perspective they can work, whatever the project they work, they will be very top class project. So I started training this developer, and then so we hired some of those developers ourselves. We got them big dev certification as well, and then we started seeing this problem a little bit. Like I'm in a BigCommerce group chat as well, like in the Slack and everything. So I see a lot of people face some issues with the developers. So then we started this model that where people can actually get a developer from us. So it will be their developer dedicated working on their side only. And so basically we just provide the initial thing, and then we take care of their insurance, their financial, their taxes and everything. So yeah, they don't have to worry about those legal aspect, and then we do that. And this way, we also basically help other developers in the community to get their jobs and get them jobs as well. So yeah.
I think that's a wonderful model, right? So I've got a technical team, they have certain expertise, but they don't have Big C expertise, for instance. And they need a mentor, they need someone to make sure the project doesn't go off the rails, and it's not like just, something that you just want on the outside. You never build any expertise internally. You want them embedded in the team itself. That's a great model.
Yeah, I think the thing is people could be good developers, but then having an expertise in a platform is a very critical. So I saw this lack of thing, where people didn't know the platform enough to make a better decision about the solution architect kind of stuff. So that's where I believe this kind of model helped a lot of the some of the agencies and other brands that we are currently working with. And now we're going to expand it to some other platforms as well, like a Shopify, Shopware, things like that, which we are in a progress currently.
So, if someone they've got say they've got an in-house team, three people, they're good. They don't know anything about Big C, or they know a little bit, but they know enough to know they don't know enough. What would sort of a minimum engagement look like? Would someone come in for a few days a week, or would it be full time for a couple of months? What sort of ranges?
Yeah, it depends, so the reason I think of what happened was, I was interacting with a client who was looking to set up their internal, development teams, but they don't know what questions to ask, actually, like they don't know, how to hire those specific people and everything. And then they were facing this with the problem, and then, I recommended some of the developers that, I had in my contact, whom I personally trained. So yeah, I think it's been like almost a 1.5 year, and that developer is still working with them. So the idea is, they can get a developer either, 4 hours per day, or basically, basically a part time or full time. It is up to them. We are basically, after we provide a training to the developers and everything, and someone approaches us that they want either agencies or a brand approaches us for a developer help. So we basically, it's up to them, what kind of engagement they want to have it. Technically, that developer becomes part of their team. The guarantee what we provide is that, let's say if that developer leaves the company, or they got some better offer, whatever it is, then we will provide you another developer within 3 days, and that we will not charge you for 15 days of onboarding fees because that you might have spent the time already, so yeah. So that kind of thing, yeah.
That's way better than hiring somebody. I want to just do that from now on. That's really standing behind it. Holy cow. And the great thing is that you're going to be bringing in someone else that has Big C certification, so they're going to come up to speed really quickly with the project.
Yeah, we actually provide we basically pay for the certification. Like let's say if I hire, there's a 20 people in the batch, and they are maybe top 3 or 5 people who are very good. We feel like they could be good, contender for that thing. So we sponsor for that, basically the certification fee, which is around $700 or something. And then, we have a contract with them that, they're gonna be basically working this program as well. So yeah.
I love that model. I think it's a great model. I mean, you've been at this for almost 20 years, and so you kind of, see what the industry needs are and come up with programs like this. That's a very good one.
Thank you.
I'm curious, over the last decade, what are, some of the things that that you've seen? Because you cover all these industries, everything from CBD and high risk stuff, which a lot of people just don't want to touch because they're not sure how to deal with the regulations, to traditional retail and B2B replenishment. Who is now doing a lot of implementations that maybe didn't a decade ago, laggards, or what's happening in the industry that you're seeing?
Yeah, I think like a latest trend which I'm seeing at the, currently somehow, we are getting a lot of B2B projects, which is surprising. So I would say, like, yeah, I think maybe 50% of projects are kind of a B2B at the moment, which is
50%.
interesting. Or, I mean, either they will have some kind of B2B component, like either they're doing a B2B and B2C together, or they're just doing a B2B only. So I think what will happen is, a lot of B2B companies which were on an older platform, like very traditional things, they now realizing that, they need to get into, kind of in the game, and to be revamping their platform. They need to make sure their customer onboarding process is easier, their purchase experience is easier, kind of thing. And even the search experience is very critical nowadays. So I'm just, recent, I'm basically working with a client at the moment. So they are on a, they are actually B2B. They are a pretty headless architecture, but they're trying to move to a different platform at the moment.
Yeah.
And they are, yeah, so that's where I basically, we are thinking to migrate them from Algolia to HawkSearch because of, the AI and other aspect of like smart search. yeah, definitely. So yeah, that's where to contact your team about as well, like just a few days ago, to see, how we can help them as well. So that was a B2B, but now they're trying to open a B2C as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I think because B2B companies are also realizing that they need to advance their system, and now it's happening both ways, I would say. Either B2B companies need to, going to the new tech stacks and then open some of the B2C set of brands, either mm-hmm. as an independent or just add a new, basically channel, or, the older frameworks who are no longer supported. That's it's the very cumbersome process, the tax automation and everything. So yeah, so I see a lot of movement in a B2B at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say that that's where most of our growth has been in the last couple of years. And you're never sure, maybe it's just because the word's out that you do great B2B stuff and that stuff is really complicated. So that could push it. But I get a feeling that the B2B companies, that there's a generational shift that's happening there in
yeah.
their customers and their employees. And they're saying, we've got just a culture of buying stuff online and a business
yeah.
that's not fitting that culture.
Yeah.
We need to to match
yeah,
it up.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we're also seeing a lot of what previously a couple of years ago was being thrown around as D2C, direct to consumer, where the B2B guys were selling direct. I haven't
yeah.
heard people say D2C as much this year as last year, but
yeah.
the terms change. So that sounds like kind of the B2B/B2C that you were describing.
Yeah.
You're seeing here.
I think what has happened with the SaaS platform, SaaS e-commerce platform, like it does have, definitely has given a lot of opportunity to small scale merchants to go online pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Either it's a big commerce or Shopify or any other platform. Like I am working with the basically the small business what is the program from California government. So I see that a lot of how they are trying to help people go online. Like some of the smaller artists, they are basically going online within a week or so as well. So so I think the technology is more accessible now. So there is definitely a boom in that area as well. A lot of influencers are happening, and there's another shift which I'm doing is seeing is as that some of the influencers who are now they're starting their own brands as well. So we are mm-hmm. working with some of the influencers at the moment, which I mean not too many, just two or three at the moment that. Who have started their private label kind of thing. So, and that basically, helps them, not only the engagement side of the thing from the social payments and everything, social media revenue, but now they have their own private line as well, label line as well.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that could be a big industry, right? I mean, a lot of people can do that. And it can drive a ton of revenue. Do you integrate when you're doing that? Are you integrating with, Amazon or something and selling through that, or are they selling their private label directly on the site? How what are they doing?
Yeah, so basically they will have their own e-commerce website, but then it will be also integrated with the Instagram. They will also be integrated with the TikTok shop as well. So TikTok shop, we recently started working with them, and somehow it's a surprisingly giving more interaction. What I observed, at least, it depends upon the product category as well, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we definitely saw good higher conversion than Instagram shop in TikTok shop.
Okay, that's really interesting. That's a little nugget for those influencers that want to get started.
TikTok
versus Instagram. I'm sure that people probably just spray and pray. That's amazing. Okay, cool. In terms of the different platforms that you've been implementing now, which is probably about everything, but what are the bigger B2B platforms that you're using?
Well, that's a very difficult question. I think the The way I approach projects is like, okay, what client needs, you know? If they are like very smaller clients, you know, who just need a smaller little functionality in a B2B, you know, I will say, like, well, do you need, I mean, they don't need to go with the, you know, commerce tool or anything like that, right? So it's depending on a lot of, like, what their requirements are, what kind of, you know, functionality they need, and then go from there. So yeah, I think what BigCommerce, well, I think now Shopify is also trying to be very competitive in a B2B as well, like whatever the feature they're releasing. Earlier they had a wholesale channel, they, you know, had those kind of apps kind of stuff, but now what they have done is they are doing a pretty good job with the B2B. I won't say it's there yet. What I believe about, you know, feel about Shopify is that they have a good functionality on the B2B side of thing, but where it lacks is the checkout. I mean, yes, their checkout is great, but it's good for D2C kind of stuff. But when it comes to B2B, a lot of people requires custom integrations, you know. That's where I feel like, man, this is gonna be challenging as well over there. You know, a lot of B2B have their own, you know, custom payment methods, especially the high, you know, converting one. They will have their own negotiated rates, and so it's not very easy for them to shift to a Shopify B2B and then, you know, work on that because Shopify checkout is a bit more closed. So they are doing pretty good job. So I think if someone is want to get started, you know, it's a good approach to have. And on a BigCommerce side, I would say they, you know, what they are doing with the buyer's portal. So that's pretty good. Like Inhaven is on a BigCommerce B2B, and because of the flexibility BigCommerce provided with the API, server side card API, the, you know, the checkout API and all the stuff, so we were able to do a lot more on that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, there are definitely more platforms like Oracle Commerce and, you know, Magento, Adobe Commerce, which are basically, you know, the market leader at one point of time. But if I'm talking about the SaaS platform, you know, I would say, you know, BigCommerce is doing pretty good job in a mid-market, you know, area. And when, yeah, we're going bigger, there are endless platforms for sure. So yeah, but yeah, I think, yeah, BigCommerce, Shopify, Shopware, and Oracle Commerce we are currently working with.
It's great that Chronix has such a broad set of expertise so that you really can look at it from in terms of what the customer's needs are and get them on the right platform. I know that if you end up with a smaller company trying to implement a complicated platform, they end up not having all the features that they want, features that they don't want, their budget is through the roof and so forth, and it's a nightmare and nobody
Oh
wins.
yeah, for sure. I have, you know, worked with those horror story things, you know, like some of the, like, a very complex, you know, like there was a one project which I was working with. It's just, you know, sometimes when they don't even need it, like people or agencies suggest some of these technologies, like they were using a middleware which was you know, costing them around like a $20,000 per month, and then we brought that cost to like a less than $1,000 per month, you know. So there are tools available, you know, which are basically will give you same kind of functionality, and that website was also using like very complicated architecture, like a semi-headless solution. Like Contentful was pushing the data to BigCommerce in a JSON and then converting from JSON to the HTML. It was just not a good. And then we revamped to a Stencil, and, you know, the site is working pretty well, and then they're a pretty big company. So yeah, they're a horror story for sure. Like even, you know, in here when we got into a basically a kind of a scenario that they were on a kind of middleware platform which was, you know, pretty expensive, like a hundred, you know, pretty good number of $1,000 per month, and then we went with a different service which then, you know, basically reduced that cost to like just $1,500 per month.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's one of the most important things that if you're a brand or even an agency looking for a partner, you've got to have someone that has specific expertise in the different platforms, and because they have multi-platform experience, can be an honest broker and guide you to the right place so that it's a successful project.
I mean, I think I take my time, you know, in suggesting things, but I won't say, okay, well, yeah, we have to go with this way. Yeah, take time first thing, but then, you know, plan for long term.
Awesome. I see Kristen back. So chronixweb.com is where we're at, right?
Chronixweb.com and bigcexperts.com.
BigCExperts.com. I love the Big C Experts business model. I think that's great. After this call, I'll be calling you up and asking for a Big C Expert for my team.
Thank you so much for being on. This was wonderful. And we'll also be sure to link XEngage in the show notes so anybody can just easily click on it and find it. So
thank you.
Thank you guys so much. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all next time.